I did not ask for the lights to dim today because I know that it's conducive to napping, and I wanted to make sure that that did not lead anyone into error or sin. But they're dimmed, so what can we do, right? What can we do? I have a loaded question for you. Do you like to talk about people? Don't answer that question. With my superpowers, I will discern what you were thinking. Oh, really? You do like to talk about people. Well, do you like people to talk about you? With my superpowers, I will see if I can discern what you are thinking. Oh, I see. It depends on what they're saying about you. Are they spreading unfounded rumors, or are they giving fact-based reports about you? Rumors are usually considered to be bad things. Someone said this: there is nothing as effective as a bunch of facts to ruin a good rumor. Jeremiah said in chapter 51, 46, "Do not lose heart or be afraid when rumors are heard in the land. One rumor comes this year, another the next, rumors of violence in the land and of ruler against ruler." That sounds just like the times we're living in today, doesn't it? Except today we call it fake news. Ezekiel said in chapter 7, 26, "Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor." How right he was, and how right he is. Calamity upon calamity will come, and rumor upon rumor. Our world is just absolutely awash with calamity. I've heard many people say, "I can't remember a time quite like this." I read in the news this morning that 35,000 people are being evacuated because in Bali, a volcano is about to erupt. 35,000 people being evacuated because of this. And we know about the hurricanes, and we know about the earthquakes. Calamity upon calamity. Something better than a rumor, hopefully, is a report. You see, a report, by definition, is based on facts, while a rumor, by definition, is based on hearsay. A report may be a good report, a report may be a bad report. For that matter, a rumor could be good news. A rumor could be bad news as well. Rumor or report, people love to talk about people. Always have, always will. What's the point of all this? Well, we are in the book of Colossians, and Paul's message to them was that someone is talking about you. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints." Those are good reports. Paul was encouraging them because he had heard people talking about them and sharing good stuff. I hope when you talk about me, you share the good stuff and not the not good stuff. And I hope when I talk about you, I do exactly the same thing. But listen up. I hope that lots and lots of people, lots and lots of people are talking about covenant fellowship the way Paul said they were talking about the people in Colossae. Have you heard about that little church over in Terce Valley? Have you heard all the good things that's going on over in that church at Terce Valley? They love Jesus, and they love one another, and they pray. Maybe we should go check it out. I had some people ask me, "Why do you think our church has not grown in numbers?" There are lots of reasons for that, I believe. But perhaps one of the reasons is that people are not talking about us because they don't even know we're here. Now, we could spend the whole hour on that statement right there. But Paul told the Colossians about the good reports that he had heard about them. But he said something monumental in verse 3. And I want this to be like a brand on our church, a hot iron in a steer's hindquarters. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Brand that into this church. Are you thankful for covenant fellowship? My guess is that most of you, probably all of you, would say, yes, yes. Well, great. But I'm not talking about a good feeling. I'm talking about taking action. Have you thanked God for covenant fellowship? We are here because He has made it possible. We continue here because He is making it possible. Thank God. That's not just an expression, that is an invitation. To God be the glory for the things He has done and things He is doing and the things He will do. Paul said also, we pray for you. How many times this past week did you pray for someone on our prayer list? How many times this past month did you pray for anyone in this congregation? How many times in this past year did you pray for covenant fellowship as a body? Or do you just show up here to enjoy another worship service? You know what? I thank the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for those in this fellowship who do pray. I've said this before, I will say it again. We have prayer warriors in this body who make me look like an outsider. And I praise God for you. I wonder where we would be without those prayer warriors. I would love for people to talk about us and say, I've never seen a congregation pray like that congregation prays. Paul told the Colossians that he was thanking God for the good report of their faith and their love. And then he needed to give them a reminder about what faith and love are all about. He said in verse 6, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Hallelujah. You know what? They did need to be reminded about faith. They did need that. Even a young Christian can suffer from a disease common to senior citizens called CRS. Can't remember stuff. We all develop spiritual dementia. The Hebrews displayed it in spades when they were going through the Exodus in the wilderness. They wanted to taste again the meat and the onions and the garlic of good old Egypt, where they had been slaves. Spiritual dementia. One of the reasons that it is so important for us to study God's word and to listen to long sermons is that we need to fight our senior moments in terms of our faith. Those memory losses lead to faith decay. Don't need that. Don't want that. Need to get rid of that. Need to grow in Christ. Paul said to us, covenant fellowship, remember last Sunday? Dear covenant fellowship. Paul said to us, remember where your faith and your love came from. They came from your hearing the truth. They came from your hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. RB thanked God for that in the prayer, and I was so thankful that he did that. He didn't know what I was going to be saying. Yes, we all need to be reminded, don't we? In verse 9, Paul continued, "We have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Wow! Knowledge, spiritual wisdom, understanding. That is a mouthful. Confession, I do not speak Spanish. I know very little about the Spanish language. But I find myself surrounded by people for whom Spanish is their first language. I even find it difficult to order my fast food sometimes in America because of that. Life can be like the Tower of Babel around me sometimes. People grasping for knowledge, grasping for wisdom, grasping for understanding. I heard a story about a man who subscribed to a magazine and he wanted to cancel his subscription to his magazine. I think I've told you this story before, but we have spiritual dementia, so you won't remember this. I'll tell you again. He wanted to cancel his subscription to his magazine. The name of the magazine was Theater Arts. And this was in the days when, if you wanted to have a telephone number, you had to call an information operator. Do you remember those days? Let's call information. So he called the information operator using a telephone, not a computer, not a smartphone, but using those things you dial. He called her and asked for the phone number of his magazine, and the lady said, "I'm sorry, sir, we have no listing here by the name of Theodore Arts." And he said, "No, it's not a person, ma'am. It's a publication. I want the number for Theater Arts." And the operator got a little louder. "I told you, sir, we have no listing here for Theodore Arts." So he got louder and he said, "Confound it, lady. The word is theater, T-H-E-A-T-E-R. And she said, "Sir, that is not the way to spell Theodore." Now, assuming that his enunciation was good, assuming that her hearing and her listening were good, or that the equipment was not distorting, something was wrong here. Somebody on the other end of the phone needed some knowledge and some understanding and some wisdom, and God gives all of that to us. I'm looking for happy face responses. Yes, I'd say 80% of the room smiled when I said that. Hallelujah. Assuming that the messenger does not distort the message, you need hearing and you need listening, resulting in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Paul's prayer for them was right on target. And of course, we are in the bullseye of that target. We sing a song, I love this song, "Open our eyes, Lord." What are we singing? We're asking God for the gifts of knowledge, and even more, we're asking Him for wisdom and understanding. Those are terrific aspirations. Those are terrific goals for us to want in Christ. And those are terrific aspirations for us as a little church, brothers and sisters. We need to know and understand more about our faith in Jesus Christ. The question, of course, is this: are you seeking to know Him more and all that comes with that? Or do you just show up here on Sunday mornings to enjoy another worship service? If you were here last week, you know why Paul said that he was praying for these things of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, because the new Christians in Colossae were being seduced by false teachers. So are we. I have to ask myself, how much time am I devoting to gaining knowledge and understanding of God compared with the amount of time that I enjoy watching television? Your problem may not be television. Your problem may be novels, reading novels, or researching recipes, or talking on the telephone, or playing computer games, or surfing the net, etc., etc. We are all very good at neglecting our spiritual growth. If Paul were writing to us today, would he say that people are saying good things about our spiritual growth? Or would he say that he had heard that all we do is just show up on Sunday mornings to enjoy another worship service? And finally, we come to this question, why? Why did Paul say he was praying for spiritual growth? Verse 10 is his answer. And verse 10 is one long, long sentence. The Bible has some of those, but it is overflowing with good stuff. It starts, thankfully, with a summary statement. And here is the root answer to why Paul was praying. He said, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord." We pray for your spiritual growth so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Oh, I wish people were talking about the way I live my life, worthy of the Lord. Don't you wish people were talking about you that way? Oh, I wish people were talking about our church that way. Maybe they are. What a goal. What an aspiration that is. That is a large part of why you're here, brothers and sisters. You are here for spiritual growth and renewal so that you can live a better life worthy of God. That's why you're here. And I'm glad you are. I'm glad we are. And now I want to read that one long sentence of Paul's. It's overflowing with good things, as I said. Here's the sentence. "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of God." Wow, what a mouthful that is. We could have a whole sermon series on that one sentence. Because of that sentence, I want to conclude by giving you some challenges. I have five challenges for you today, okay? Maybe more. Number one, I want you to go out of this place today determined to please God in every way you can. Secondly, I want you to go out of this place today determined to grow in your knowledge of God this week. Turn off the TV for a while. Close the novel for a while. Exit the computer games for a while and read his holy word instead. If you do not grow in knowledge of the Lord this week, then you are a person who is willing to settle for superficiality when it comes to your faith. Ouch. Next. I want you to go out from here today determined to endure patiently whatever test God may throw at you. I know that's a big one. And I know that from personal experience, as you know. That's a tough one. I challenge you this week to thank God joyfully for whatever that test is. And remember, whatever it is, it is only a speck in the totality of everything. It's only a spot in the universe. It's less than a second of eternity. I want you to thank God that you have knowledge of him. And I want you to thank God that he has rescued you from the darkness. And he has called you into God's marvelous light to bring you into his everlasting joy in his kingdom of light. I'm not done. Here's the next one. I want you to go out from here today with this thought ringing in your heart. Listen, your eternal life does not begin with your death. It begins with your faith. We've only just begun. And I want you to be determined this week to tell somebody else that truth. And finally, I want you to go out from here today with an attitude that somebody is secretively making a video of your life. And you are going to be required to sit down and watch it. And you will not be alone. All of us will be there with you watching your video. And God will be sitting right there beside you as you watch this video of your life. And then you will paraphrase the Apostle Paul, and you will say to your Creator, "Thank you, God, for rescuing me from the dominion of darkness and for bringing me into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Thank you that he has redeemed me and that my sins are forgiven." Brothers and sisters, I do not want to hear rumors about us. I want to hear great reports about our faith in Christ and our love for one another. Let's pray. Father, we live this life by your grace. Every step we take, every word, every deed, Lord, we live it by your grace. We thank you that we are here. We thank you for the seconds, the minutes, the hours, the years, whatever we have in front of each of us, only you know. And I pray, Lord, that these challenges would ring in our minds and in our hearts and that we won't be able to let go of them. That we will live for you and for you alone. And Lord, I pray that you will pour out your power on us for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.